instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Reverend J. Michael Byron from the Church of St. Cecilia in St. Paul. Please remain standing after the prayer for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Ever good and ever giving God, we acknowledge our need for your wisdom, and we seek to be guided by your just and compassionate heart as we presume to shape the lives of the citizens of Minnesota. Make us true and good stewards of the gifts you have poured out to us in such abundance, and may we ever be mindful of those among us who seem to stand in greatest need. Although our immediate concerns in this chamber are for our own state, who among us can fail to implore your consolation for the people of Japan who suffer so greatly today? And here in our own land, we ask your protection of those whose homes and farms lie vulnerable before the threat of imminent floods. God, you are the God of our ancestors, and on this day of festivity here in St. Paul, we speak our gratitude for the parents and grandparents who have shaped this place through their industry, their courage, and generosity, both those who may be of Irish descent and those who wish they were. May we find in their witness and their legacy the inspiration to resolve to lead the state forward with the help of your guidance into a new time of excellence. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Anderson, Bach, Benson, Berglund, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeKreif, Dibble, Fischbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingebretson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Cruz, Kubli, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Pogemiller, Reinert, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Sparks, Stump, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
Quorum is present. Moving to the fifth order of business, reports of committee. Senator Koch.
Madam President, I move that the committee reports printed in today's agenda be adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The motion does prevail. Sixth order of business, second reading of Senate bills. There are several printed in today's agenda. Second reading. Moving to the eighth order of business, introduction and first reading of Senate bills. There are bills printed in today's Senate bill introduction, and there is one to be read into the record by the Secretary. Secretary will read.
First reading, Senate file number 908, a bill for an act relating to state government, introduced by Carlson, Perry, Jungbauer. First reading.
Senate file 908 is referred to State Government Innovation and Veterans Committee. First reading. Moving to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There are several motions that will be taken as one motion under the Senate motions. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
Madam President and members, today what we'd like to do is the calendar. Then we would move on to a special order on House File 79. And then, time allowing, we'd take up some general orders. I guess remaining under motions and resolutions, Madam President, I move that we take up the Senate calendar.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Opposed, no. We are on Senate calendar. Secretary will give Senate File 119, its third reading.
Senate File Number 119, a bill for an act relating to human services, third reading.
Third reading. Secretary will take the roll on Senate File 119. All those senators having voted who desire to vote. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining on the calendar, the secretary will give Senate File 170 its third reading.
Senate File Number 170, a bill for an act relating to education, third reading.
Third reading. Secretary will take the roll. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Remaining under motions and resolutions, Senator Koch.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I would like to designate the following bill be made a special order for immediate consideration. House File Number 79. Members, this is number 23 on your general orders.
Senator Koch has designated House File 79 a special order. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I would ask for the members' unanimous support for House File 79. We do have a position on almost all of the provisions in the message from the House. This would entail all of the 2010 federal conformities. There were a couple items we did not include. We previously did not include them either, but just for a very brief review of what's included here, for tax year 2010 only, we will extend the exclusion of income for health insurance benefits for folks up to age 26, the higher education tuition deduction, the educator classroom expense deduction, the enhanced deduction of charitable contributions of computers, the exclusion for employer-provided adoption assistance, extending the authority for 70-and-a-half-year-olds or older to transfer into IRA or Roth IRAs, extending the increase in the federal adjusted gross income limit on conservation easements for charitable deductions, and other various depreciation and expensing provisions. Members, we will not be including the increase in Section 179 expensing or the extension of 50% bonus depreciation at this time. I am hopeful we might be able to take that up with tax bills that will come forward later. There is also an update to the federal definition of what is taxable income, and we adopt those changes. Basically, members, what we're doing is looking at the major tax law changes from Congress, including the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act of 2010, the Small Business Jobs Act of 2010, the Tax Relief, Unemployment Insurance Reauthorization and Job Creation Act of 2010, and those are the major provisions. Members, there is one other thing that the House has added to this, and I would ask you to support their change. What it does is it would authorize the Commissioner of the Department of Revenue to issue refunds. If you remember last year, as a matter of legislative action, we delayed refunds on certain corporate and sales taxes by legislative action to withhold $152 million or delay them in payment by up to 90 days. They are now 90 days, and it is time to issue those refunds. The governor has agreed to do this. The commissioner of the Department of Revenue is ready to go. The House is ready to go, and I would ask you to support the immediate issuance of these refunds. The provisions were passed in the 2010 laws, first special session, Chapter 1, Article 13, Section 6, if anybody's looking for the background information on that. With that, members, I would stand for any questions that you have about this, but again, I would ask for your unanimous support.
Further discussion on House File 79? Seeing none. Oh, Senator Berglund.
Madam President, would Senator Ortman yield?
Senator Ortman will yield.
Senator Ortman, would it be your opinion that the passage of this act would then require that there be some state expenditures made in terms of personnel time to implement the provision that dependents can be on their parents' policies through age 26, the provision that's in the Affordable Care Act? The question, again, Madam President, is would it take state personnel time in order for us to comply with the Affordable Care Act provision that allows parents to keep their children on their policies as dependents through age 26.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. I wish I had an authoritative answer to that, but I would say that we do federal conformities all of the time. We adjust what we do as a matter of state course. I've not heard anyone estimate for me a fiscal note for the implementation of these conformities, so I'm not aware of any additional expense or state time other than in the ordinary course of business for processing these conformities.
Senator Berglund.
Madam President, Senator Ortman, I wasn't suggesting that there would be additional state time or expense made. I was just suggesting that someone would have to implement this and it would become part of their job, and so state resources would be spent to implement this provision.
Further discussion on House File 79. Senator Bach.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Ortman, I think we need to correct the record a little bit on the action that was taken by the previous legislature relative to a year ago what we thought was very tenuous situation for state cash flow. A year ago when this legislature it adjourned, it appeared like when fall came around, the state was not going to have money to pay its bills. And at the request of Governor Plenty, we authorized him to withhold corporate tax refunds that then would be paid back in the next biennium. So I just want to make that clear. The legislature gave Governor Plenty authority to withhold corporate tax refunds. He then did that. And fortunately, now that the economy has improved some in this current biennium, this legislature is able to get those refunds back out to our Minnesota businesses. And I want to thank the majority party for taking action on this. The governor did send us a letter in a late February and ask us to take this action, and I want to thank Governor Dayton for doing that. And I just want to remind everybody, and many of you came here and said you're going to cut state spending, just want to remind you that in the current fiscal year that we're in, between now and June 30th, this bill is going to spend over $13 million. Just want to make everybody aware of that. And then it raises a little money in the next biennium, and then in the biennium beyond that, for those of you that come back after the 2012 election, your action you take today is going to spend $26.5 million in the next biennium. And Madam President, I support the bill.
Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Madam President. Just to clarify or provide additional information, currently the Department of Revenue is holding $80 million in refunds that they could not issue until July 1st unless we take this legislative action. So that's what we're doing today. And I would just like to remind Senator Bach that it's not our money. It's the taxpayers' money, and we're holding their refunds, and we want to make sure that those refunds get sent back out to our taxpayers.
Secretary will give House File 79 its third reading.
Senate File Number 79, excuse me, House File 79, a bill for an act relating to taxation, third reading.
Further discussion on House File 79? Seeing none, the Secretary will take the roll. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving on to the 12th order of business, general orders, Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move that the Senate do now resolve itself into a committee of the whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My intentions, time allowing, I'd like to take up Senate File 488, Senator Daley, Senate File 137, Senator Scheid, Senate File 191, Senator Scheid, and House File 362, Senator Pogemiller.
Senator Koch has designated Senate File 488, Senate File 137, Senate File 191, and House File 362. Senate File 488 is number 13 on special orders. Senator Daley. General orders, I'm sorry. Number 13 on general orders. Senator Daley.
Madam Chair, thank you. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File number 488 be recommended to pass. This bill, Senate File 488, has strong bipartisan support as shown by the unanimous approval of it in the Jobs and Economic Growth Committee last week. And I want to thank especially Senator Metzen, Senator Tomasoni, and Senator Kielash as co-authors of this very fine piece of legislation, according to Senator Metzen. And, oh yes, you too, Chairman Michelle. Each of us has a number of airline employees who live in our districts. And as could be seen by the strong employee turnout in the Jobs and Economic Growth Committee and by the employees' very passionate and compelling testimony in favor of this legislation, the ability to voluntarily trade hours, trade shifts with their colleagues, is of great importance to all of these employees. Senate File 488 is legislation that was brought to me by Delta employees in the state of Minnesota. This legislation will exempt airline employees from overtime provisions of the Minnesota Fair Labor Standards Act when the employee accrues overtime due to voluntary, and I stress voluntary, agreements among employees to trade scheduled work hours. Please let me share with you three main points about this bill. Number one, the flexibility, the ability of the voluntarily swapping shifts affords these airline employees is an item that they greatly value for a variety of reasons. It's a flexibility that Delta has been able to offer employees in Minnesota until just recently. That is because employees were contract employees, and voluntarily swapping of hours with fellow employees without payment of overtime was permitted under their contract. Employees have recently voted to not be contract employees and therefore fall under Minnesota state law regarding overtime as it applies to, among other things, voluntarily swapping shifts. The loss of this flexibility has real consequences. It would have an impact on Brenda Deutsch, who works in the Sky Club at the Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport. Brenda testified in committee that her husband has had three strokes in the past year, and it is this flexibility that allows her to voluntarily work double shifts when her husband has medical care, and then allows her to be with him when that care is not available. It would have an impact on Glenn Hammond, who works at the Iron Range Reservation Center in Chisholm, Minnesota. Glenn testified that in addition to working for Delta, he runs another business on the side, and this flexibility allows him to do this. It would have an impact on Doug Radke, who works at Minneapolis-St. Paul Airport, but drives in from Western Brownton, which is over an hour away from the airport. Doug testified that this voluntary flexibility allows him and his wife to balance their work hours to be able to take care of their two daughters. It would have an impact on Cerise Kogo O'Neill, who used this voluntary flexibility to care for her parents when they were ill, and now uses it as a salary supplement to pay bills during this difficult economic time. It would have an impact on 3,000 Delta employees who can use this voluntary shift swapping as a tool to make their lives easier, and that these other employees represented so eloquently in our Jobs Committee. A second point, airline employees in 40 of the 50 other states enjoy this same flexibility as this legislation proposes. This includes every state where Delta has an operation or a reservation call center. So this would permit Delta's Minnesota employees to do the same as they can do in every other jurisdiction where they operate. In addition, Over 19 other work groups in Minnesota already have a similar provision, allowing them for voluntary swapping of hours, including many in the transportation industry, including taxi cab drivers, truck drivers, and ship workers. And finally, there is no fiscal note, no fiscal impact to the state. As I open with, this bill has strong bipartisan support. And I would be remiss if I did not point out that Representative Leon Lilly, a Delta employee himself, is carrying this bill in that other body. This bill has been heard in committees in both the House and the Senate, and there is no opposition and no dissenting votes in either of the committee meetings. I would ask for your support for this measure today. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 488. Seeing none, Senator Lilly renews his motion that Senate File 488 be recommended. Daly, I'm sorry, what did I say? Lilly, I apologize. I'm sorry. Senator Daly renews his motion that Senate File 488 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to Senate File 137, Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 137 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, this bill has four provisions. They are very technical. It is a proposal from the Minnesota State Bar Association, the real property section of the Bar Association. And as I say, this is their technical bill. They're, for example, right now you're required when you're presenting a deed that it has to be accompanied by an abstract of title. That's difficult, sometimes impossible, and can be expensive. So this is going to take away that requirement and remove some unnecessary requirements on the county attorneys in relation to deeds that correct title. Then there is a provision about the acknowledgement of a deed, the notarization of a deed, and it just says it simplifies the determination of the validity of real estate documents and prevents confusion between lists. There is three sections. Section 3, 4, and 5 have to do with the cancellation of purchase agreements for residential property, and it's just a way to facilitate getting a responsive notice of cancellation back to the purchaser. And then there is a provision having to do with reverse mortgages, but when we adopted reverse mortgage language, we said nothing about what a redemption period would be, or it didn't mention a redemption period. We just are making this, it would be a 12-month redemption period, the same time that most foreclosures have. So, members, that is it. I appreciate your support.
Further discussion on Senate File 137. Senator Scheid renews her motion that Senate File 137 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to Senate File 191, Senator Scheid.
Madam Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 191 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Scheid.
And Madam Chair, this is a repealer, and I know you can find it on your computer. We did have the repealer language in the committee. Usually those are attached to the bills. I don't know if they are on the machines or not. But this has to do with something that we did, I think, in 2009, that we required that small employers who do not offer group health insurance are offered and must set up Section 125 plans, which is a federal tax code provision, for their employees. It doesn't involve employer contribution. It's just that they do the administration of the Section 125 plan for their employees who put their own money into that plan, and it was an effort to try to get more people insured. We even set aside $1 million for small grants to businesses to help them with the accounting and setting these accounts up. They, in record numbers, did not take advantage of that ability. I think out of $1 million, they only spent like $2,500 or so, and $2,500 out of $1 million. So that, I think we canceled that appropriation last year, and the truth is that employers are not, they're opting out because we did require them to do this, but we gave them an ability to opt out, and virtually everyone is opting out. This just repeals the mandate on small employers and is the one recommendation that the small group health insurance working group was able to agree on, so to date. So I appreciate members' support on this.
Further discussion on Senate File 191? Seeing none, Senator Scheid renews her motion that Senate File 191 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving on to House File 362, Senator Pogamiller.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, House File 362 be recommended to pass.
On that motion, Senator Pogamiller.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members, this bill simply clarifies the right of condominium owners to obtain or access copies of their association records and the cost for doing so or for making copies. This was an issue brought to me by a constituent who was having a disagreement with their association on their records. So this language just clarifies it to prevent disagreements. Bill has been reviewed by the Bar Association, the Multi-Housing Authority, and the Association of Realtors, and had a thorough discussion in Senator Limber's committee. Do not believe it's controversial.
Further discussion on House File 362. Seeing none, Senator Pogamiller renews his motion that House File 362 be recommended to pass. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
Madam
we have
President.
Finished the designated general orders. Moving on to announcements of Senate
Madam President, I move that the committee...
Oh, I'm sorry. Senator Koch.
I move that the committee do now rise and report.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail.
Madam President.
You have announcement. Oh, Senator Koch.
I move that the report of the committee, as kept by the Secretary, be now adopted.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Koch.
Madam President, are we now under announcements of Senate interest?
If you would like, we're looking for a brief recess if you're
yep. Madam President, I would like to move a brief recess for the purpose of a farewell ceremony.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are in brief recess. Senator Bonhoff.
Thank you, Madam President. I rise to acknowledge and thank and celebrate the Senate service of Senator Ellen Anderson. So, Senator Ellen Anderson, we are so happy for you, and we congratulate you on the next step of your journey. And so, as a reflection of our appreciation, we invite everyone to join us in the retiring room following this to share some cake with Ellen. And then I would like to call on one of her colleagues. And we all know that Senator Sandy Pappas and Senator Ellen Anderson have been tied at the hip for many, many, many years. And so most likely we would have turned at this time to Senator Pappas to say a few words, and she's not with us today. But there are many of us who honor and love Ellen Anderson. And so at this time I will call on Senator Scott Dibble to say a few words.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I do stand in today for Ellen's best buddy, Senator Sandy Pappas, but I'm one of her many next best buddies that she has in the chamber and was also her seatmate for many years, and we had a lot of fun in in those two seats, talking and gossiping and cracking up and co-conspiring and the like for many years. I'll miss that very much. But I got Senator Lori here to crack up with. Well, Ellen's career has been highlighted by no small measure of good cheer and great friendships that she's made in this chamber. She's also brought a measure of fidelity and devotion to really sound public policy that was well-researched, well-founded. But she always had the sense of the possible. The art of the possible, of course, is the craft that we're engaged in here in the Senate. And she worked very, very hard to build strong relationships and consensus around it. Very, very big ideas. Of course, we'll always remember a number of other things, strapping on her sneakers and scooting around the tunnels with her friend Sandy Pappas at lunchtime every day, or every day that they could. And I'll never forget how her M&Ms on her desk sustained me when I missed lunch on particular days. And we remember a certain romance she had with a particular state representative. And we will remember watching her boys grow up and listening to all the funny stories she always told about her boys throughout the years. So, Senator Anderson, on behalf of the Senate and all of your colleagues, past and present, we want to give you a heartfelt thanks for your long and tireless service. Your service to the people of Minnesota is going to continue in a new and different way, and it's a very, very exciting development for you, and we congratulate you on that, and we're really happy that you will go on to continue serving the people of Minnesota. We look forward to working with you in that capacity, and once again, congratulations. We'll miss you.
Senator Anderson.
Thank you very much, Madam President. Thank you to my dear friend Scott Dibble, Senator Dibble, and Senator Bonoff for that lovely introduction and comments. And yeah, I'll probably start crying now, but that's okay. Because you make a lot of speeches on the Senate floor, and this is the only one where it's really okay to show a little of that heartfelt emotion that I feel right now. I've been reflecting back. It's a long time that I've been here. This is my 19th year, and I always like to say in speeches, surprising for someone as young as myself, that line doesn't work as much anymore. When I was first elected in 1992, I was tied for the youngest member of the Senate, and now I'm solidly in middle age and the mom of two growing boys. And I was thinking back to when I was first elected and what it felt like. And it's just fun to share this because there's so many new members, newly elected members in the chamber. And I don't know if you had this experience, but when I was very first elected, you get this sense that you can do anything now. You know, you're a senator, you have an election certificate, you're going to go in and do whatever you want and pass laws, and you have so much power. And that may well be true in some ways, but I really got an education when I came here, and I really learned some very, very important lessons, and I just want to share a couple of those. I learned, coming from St. Paul, I learned that this is an incredibly diverse and big state, and I've learned to really treasure that about Minnesota. And I've learned that everyone who comes here brings such a wealth of different, diverse experiences, life experiences, perspectives, worldviews. And again, I've really learned to love that too, because it makes us who we are, but it does create our greatest challenges. But what I've really learned, and this is true as a candidate, and in your district as well as in the Senate, that in a true democracy, you can never accomplish anything alone. Nothing you do by yourself. And that the relationships that we build are really the most important thing. I I've really come to believe that every one of us has the ability to find common ground with each other, that we always can find something that we share and value. And that spirit is really what binds us together here, all of our diverse views coming together for the common good. So looking back, I'm really proud of the things that I've accomplished through my Senate career for the state of Minnesota. And there's probably a couple things I'm less want to be remembered for. One of them is that I was the first woman to wear pants on the Senate floor. You've all heard that 1,000 times, and I made a point of wearing a skirt today just to show that that doesn't define me. I still am proud of it. And my dear friend Senator Dibble pointed out another thing that I probably do not want at the top of my list of things to be remembered for, although it's kind of fun. That is, in all my 19 years now in the Senate, I'm the only Anderson. Here in the land of Anderson, Peterson, Johnson, and Carlson, it's kind of remarkable. And Senator Dibble printed out a list of all the Andersons that have served, and there's over 60 of them. But somehow I scared all the other ones away in the Senate for the last 18 years. And so, yeah, the board's going to look different when I'm gone. No more Andersons. I do have to say, if there's one thing that I do want to be remembered for and the accomplishment that I'm most proud of is passing that renewable energy standard. People got a little sick of me talking about that for the years and years and years that we debated that. And I truly believe that it will leave a legacy for Minnesota, make our state healthier and more prosperous for many years to come. But the best memory of that whole effort is when it all came together. And again, it was one of those moments where we all found common ground. And I'll never forget standing next to the governor when he signed that bill, surrounded by legislators of both parties, and the governor and dozens of other people. And he signed it and gave me the pen. And we, you know, it felt like we were all truly coming together and making history together. And that's what we do here. We work together to make this a great state and a better place for future generations. And I know all of you have had those moments and will have those moments in the future when the board lights up all green and we have the ability to come together and accomplish something great together and accomplish something worthy to be remembered. And I always love to read what Daniel Webster said, so in all these years I've read it many times, and I hope you will too. Let us develop the resources of our land, call forth its powers, build up its institutions, promote all its great interests, and see whether also in our day and generation may not perform something worthy to be remembered. And I guess the last message I would have is, while I've got my last chance to have the floor, is that as we all work to make Minnesota a better place, it's the work that we do that we hope will be remembered, long after our names are forgotten. So we just have to always remember that. It's how we change our state. Finally, I just have to say thank you to lots of people. So I'll just name all of my constituents one by one. Now, I promise I won't do that. Just really briefly, I first want to thank all of the senators. I want to thank you all for being my friends, for your commitment. I know it's kind of fun to watch departing senators cry, isn't it? It's kind of my job to be emotional. I can't help it. I want to thank you for your commitment to public service, because I know we all share that. And I still believe it's noble and it's difficult, but it's so critical. And especially some of my very best friends that I've made here. And I admire you all so much for the work that you do. I want to thank my staff and all of the staff, all the people that work in this building who make everything we do possible. I have to call out Allison. And Don is up there. Yay, Don. my staff for the last number of years, and some many other really great people that have worked and, again, made everything we do possible. The people who fill this building every day, all those lobbyists and who help us figure things out, and all the people. And today was a great day for that, for me, to see all the children here, because having all those people here is, you know, our job is to listen to them and to understand things, and they bring real stories to us. They just pour their hearts out to us, and they help us find solutions, and we can never stop listening to them. I have to thank my family and all of our families. They make a lot of sacrifices for us to do the work that we do. My husband, Andy, my two boys, and many of you saw my oldest son grow up here and be wheeled around the Capitol in a stroller in those early days when my husband was serving in the House and I was serving in the Senate, and we didn't get home till 3 or 4 in the morning sometimes. Finally, thank to our constituents, those voters who they put their trust in us and their faith in us, and it's humbling. It's an awesome responsibility, and they challenge us to do our best for the state of Minnesota. So I hope we always rise to that occasion. I know I'm leaving you with lots of big challenges. So as I move on to the next chapter of my life, I'm very excited about leaving politics behind me for a while. But I want to wish all of you the very, very best and Godspeed. Thank you so much.
Senator Koch.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Anderson, I would just like to point out that in your honor, I am wearing pants on the Senate floor. No, I think if I speak on everyone to say thank you. Thank you for your 19 years of service and best of luck going forward. So, thank you very much.
Senate will come back to order. We are under announcements of Senate interest. There are several excuses for today. We have Senators Benson, Pappas, and Cohen all day. Senator Higgins from 11:10 to 11:25, and Senator Vanderveer from 11 to 11:15. Without objection, the following senators will be excused. In addition, without objection, Senator Latz will be excused from 11:30 until 11:50. Further announcements, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to invite you all to the Great Hall on March 21st from 2:15 to 4 o'clock. We have the Integrated Science Education Outreach. It's a wonderful collaboration between Mayo Clinic, Winona State University, and the Rochester Public Schools. You will see 20 presentations about the work of the Inside Out Partnership. It's a group that has reached 130 teachers, thousands of students, and they've developed visible and measurable traction in science education reform. Presenters will include school administrators, one who was at the State of the State address, the Outstanding Science Teacher of the Year, teachers, students, and parents from the three partner schools, in addition to professional educators and scientists. Again, it's education STEM in the classroom. They were honored in Washington, D.C. I hope that you can join them. Thank you.
Further announcements, Senator Koch.
Madam President, then I would move that we adjourn until Monday, March 21st at 11 a.m.
Senator Koch moves to adjourn until Monday, March 21st at 11 a.m. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. We are adjourned.